Good morning. There it is. Good morning. Welcome to PCC, where we are worshiping Jesus Christ, living out the Father's love, and transforming community by the Holy Spirit. I have a couple of announcements. You can read them in your orders of worship. But we're going away on a retreat, a couple families going out to where it's going to be even hotter, out to the desert. Next Sunday is actually my fifth anniversary as your pastor. That's crazy. It's 5 years. Thank you very much. That's wonderful. And God is good. Amen? Amen. We got Lunch Bunch August 7th coming up, Operation Christmas Child. There's going to be a covenant call coming out this week. So if you want something, testimony, anything, just email it into the covenant call and we'll put it in there. August, bam. Anything else? What do we got? I'm sure we'll find out what the flowers are about throughout the service, but I don't know what they are. Praise the Lord. Let's greet each other in the name of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and the Lord God who sent his one and only Son. All right, church family, would you please stand if you are able, willing, capable, and I'll give us a call to worship. Man, it's nice to be in the presence of community and Jesus the Christ. And our call to worship comes from Psalm 145, and I'm going to be reading from the King James translation, and this is verses 10 through 13. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Take a look and soak in the many generations that are even within this room. And let's worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, singing of the beauty of the earth that God has made.
Thank you. music fades, and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. When it's all about you, it's all about you.
Just As we wait on our knees, let's confess together our need for our Father. Merciful God, you pardon all who truly repent and turn to you. We humbly confess our sins and ask your mercy. We have not loved you with a pure heart, nor have we loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not done justice, loved kindness, or walked humbly with you, our God. Have mercy on us, O God. In your loving kindness, in your great compassion, cleanse us from our sin. Do not cast us away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and sustain us with your bountiful Spirit. Amen. Hear the good news. Hope does not disappoint. God does not disappoint us. He pours out his Spirit into each of us today. Believe this good news that we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Please stand.
Right? I'm ready. Come on, carry me home. I think that's good. All right, a little pep in my step. Lauren Winter, we're going through Mudhouse Sabbath, which Lauren Winter is a scholar who grew up Jewish and then converted to Christianity and wrote a book called Mudhouse Sabbath. She wrote it Mudhouse Sabbath because that's the coffee shop. She taught at UVA at the time, and that's the coffee shop that she wrote most of the book at. And this week, we're looking at, and it's a book about the spiritual disciplines as viewed through the eyes of the Jewish people and what we can learn as followers of Jesus from our brothers and sisters that are Jewish. And this week, we're looking at the body. We're looking at guf, that's the Hebrew, or our bodies. And she opens the chapter with a story of her going and buying a dress or trying to buy a dress and not fitting, not having one in the store that fits. I don't know if you have a similar story. I know I don't because I've never bought a dress for myself. But I do... I do struggle with how do I worship God with my body? how do I properly use my skin, this entity right here, to further my walk with God, get closer with God? How do I, and like her, Lauren, in the book, I would start with confessing I'm not the best at it. I'm not the best at it. But that doesn't mean I don't have something to learn. And if you're not the best at it, you don't have something to learn. So let's look at the scripture that we have for this morning. And it's Psalm 139, and I'm going to read 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me, please, God? Thank you for our bodies. I pray that you would preach through me, teach through me, even settle my heart right now. You're a good, good God and so worthy. Thank you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said. There's a fundamental difference between how Jewish people see the body, the human body, and Christian, especially Reformed Christians, see our bodies. The Jewish understanding is the human being as being defined as a body, animated, to be sure, by a soul. But our body is us, is you and I. Like, we are defined by our bodies. Our bodies were made in the image of God. Ears pointing to the truth that God hears, mouth pointing to the truth that God speaks, eyes seeing, pointing to the truth that God sees. Our bodies are us. And whereas the Christian usually sees the essence of a human being housed in a body. And Christianity is something you think about. We are souls trapped in these shells. And actually, the early Christians fought really hard against this understanding, but still that understanding seeped into the church. It was the Gnostics, right? Has you may have done any church history or studied anything about the Gnostics, or like Plato and all of his ideas of forms and the eternal spiritual things being better than, right? And so I've come to the understanding of Jason Warren Griffiths is a soul trapped in this body, imprisoned in this shell. And I think that's wrong. And this chapter is a call to get back into the, she doesn't say this in the chapter, but do you remember when I was talking about eating, you know, fitting food, kosher? And she says, you know, why wouldn't we take the opportunity at every chance that we have to turn what we have to do all the time into something sacred, a meal with Jesus, right? And the same way, I think the call this morning is to see these shells as no longer shells, but attached to our souls, you know? Animated by. It's both and. Is everybody following? Excellent. And then why? Why should we study this on a Sunday morning? Why should we think about our bodies on a Sunday morning? Because if we don't get our instructions from Scripture, where are we going to get them from? Right? Where? Television, internet. That's exactly right. Thank you for communicating and being in this conversation with me. But I love this. But that's truth, right? If we don't go to Scripture, we're going to have it. Not choosing is choosing, right? Not making a choice is making a choice. And if we are just passive and say, hey, well, I'm not going to think about my body. I'm not going to think about these terms, you know. I'd rather talk about who's playing baseball, who's playing football, what's on the Olympics. Although the Olympics, sorry to even push that down a little. I love the Olympics. Anywho, and what a scripture to look at. Right? Did anyone else feel this morning's scripture just wash over them? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. This is many people's theme verse, including my wife. Who else here likes this scripture? Me too. That's good. I feel like a teacher right then. That was nice. Literally in verse 13, I'm told by the Hebrew poet Robert Alter, you created my inmost beings. The Hebrew right there is my kidneys. My kidneys. I get this wonderful picture of our God being so individual and being so creative and being so meticulous. How dare we think of this as just a shell? It's amazing. Has anybody studied just the human body at all? Right? Any scientists in here? Got a couple of scientists in here? You know, we cannot replicate the human eye. Nothing that we can create can focus on something like this and say hi to Philip in a split second. Nothing. And he gave us two. Right? And he gave us two. I'll just throw two in for fun. I love, there's a book out there. I was serving in San Marino, and this hand surgeon, his name was Dr. Eugene Tsai, and he came up to me after service, and I think I had just preached on this text, and he handed me this book, and he handed me the book by Yancey and this famous surgeon called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. If you've never read it, I highly recommend you read it. We almost studied this for the summer because it's one of those books that you read it and it kind of changes you forever. And particularly, there's so many awesome chapters. He talks about how there's different parts of it, and he talks about the human body on a cellular level. He talks about diversity. He talks about, but my favorite is when the chapter 4 on worth. And first, in the diversity. And he makes the illustration between Paul saying, you know, we are a body as a church. And he plays that and ties that in with this scripture. And you see, he quotes in his diversity and his chapter on cells too. He says, it seems safe to assume that God enjoys variety. Right? Look to your right and look to your left. Can you believe we're the same? There's so much diversity, right? Yeah. Insert sermon about my back hair, but that's a different sermon. We're cruising along, and we have all these different intricacies and all these different ways that we are different, but we're all same, right? We all, it's so beautiful. And then in his worth one, that's the, because I think with the body, it's a huge temptation to be defined by the culture we're living in, especially around our human bodies. He says this in that chapter. In our rating-conscious society that ranks everything from baseball teams to best chili in New York, an attitude of relative worth can easily seep into the Church of Christ. Did you follow that? Outside of this community, everybody's rating everything. Everybody's Yelp reviewing everything. Everybody's criticizing and pulling things apart. I like this part, but I didn't like this part. That movie was good here, and we're analytical, and we're judging, and that can seep into our church. Your worth is not related to the person to your right or to your left. Your worth comes from the God who created you. Period. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Did God make you? So what does that make you? Wonderful. Ian, have you ever just sat in the truth that God made you? He doesn't make mistakes, and you are wonderful. Full of wonder. Full of awe. You're amazing. And I'm not saying that. Your creator is saying that through me. You're absolutely amazing. You're astounding. You're my peak. You're my pinnacle. You're me on the good day of design. Right? I think the platypus was probably the bad day. That's an ugly creature. Wait, somebody said, oh, I love platypus. Anyway, I'm sorry I didn't, all the platypi, anti-platypiites. I'm an anti, anyway, never mind. And then, this is the two things that I pull out of just that single chapter of Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. So I highly recommend you read it. I highly recommend you dive into it and you just bathe in the truth that God knows what he's doing, and God made you. Therefore, you are not an accident. And so your worth doesn't, it's not relative. But your worth is dependent. Your worth is dependent on you being loyal to who made you. I found out this from the chapter. America Mothers preserve often in bronze their children's first shoes. Whose shoes were bronzed? Mine were. Your brother's. I still kind of resent it. Why didn't you bronze my shoes? Anyway. That's celebrating freedom and independence. A Japanese mother carefully preserves a small part of her child's umbilical cord. Celebrating dependence and loyalty. Not only do you get your definition from the God who made you, you get your call. You get your purpose. You get your dependence. You get your worth. You get it all. This chapter, and this application is all throughout just the rest of what I'm going to say, because these chapters from Lauren are absolutely chock full of applications, and more than any in this chapter on the body, guff, is food. It's almost like she loves food as much as I do. Insert food with donut, and we're the same person. So she talks over and over about, and it's a lot like the chapter on kosher meals, of at every moment, take the chance to celebrate. Take the chance to meet with God. Take the chance to link with your body and your soul and physically enjoy that which you're eating. And then she has the recommendation of when you bathe. Take a bath, take a shower. Take those as moments where your body is being cleansed. Invite the Holy Spirit into that space and say, cleanse me once again. Remember your baptism. Remember that you went down, like Paul talks about, and you died to your sin, and then you rose again. She also talks about, notice this connection. This isn't bad. This isn't terrible. It's actually a temple. And Paul says so, right? Scripture says so. Who in here has lived in the Midwest? Have you ever noticed a correlation between someone's yard and their identity in the Midwest? Yes or no? There's an obvious link. They kind of don't care about what the inside of the house looks like. They care about what the outside of the house looks like. And I would say that working on your yard in Michigan is similar to the call that God gives us to work on our outward appearance. To work on these us, animated by our souls. And then last but not least, she invites us to remember that when God became man, he did not simply take on a body that was in the bloom of health. He took on a body destined for suffering. And that's actually the largest call of Lauren Winter's chapter, and I would like to leave that with us lingering. Moments when our bodies are failing us. Our moments are invitations to meet with our Savior. And from his woundedness, heal our woundedness, that we might heal others out of our being healed. This is hard. I'm looking down at my wife who's losing her best friend to cancer right now. And this is hard. This is a rub right here. And this could be a whole nother chapter. Because I also found out Dick Clark has been moved from facilities and now is on hospice. Our Dick Clark, who's been in the choir, who was 13 years old on V-Day. How tough as nails is that man? Served as a missionary. But you see his suffering, and you link it with Christ's suffering, and I link it with my suffering, and God gets to work inside me. Work on this body, work on the soul within this body, and ultimately bringing us all back to that realization. Is there a Jesus on this cross? Yes or no? No. Everybody say it really loud, please. Sorry I yelled at you. Ready? One, two, three.
No.
Why? Because he rose. Indeed, he is risen. A plus on a pop quiz. You guys get it. All Mazda Miatas after the service. We are resurrected people. These bodies, although animated by our souls, are temporary. And to be replaced with new bodies. That lasts forever, right? Let's stand. Would you please stand with me? And we're going to sing. Let all things now living. Let's sing the first verse of hymn number 389. As we continue in the adventure, and as we continue in our worship service, now is the part where we join in with our tithes, gifts, and offerings. This morning's tithes, gifts, and offerings are now received.
Good morning. I think one of the greatest promises and one of the greatest gifts that God gives us is that he loves us no matter what. I don't know why that's going to make me cry. This song I'm going to sing is new. It's different. It kind of reflects on the value of that gift.
I could lose my vision. My eyes no longer see. I could lose my religion in my struggle to believe. But that would be a loss. That would be a cross. But somehow rise above. But heaven, help me if I ever lose your love. I've traded my innocence for the secrets of the night. Felt my calloused conscience lose its grip on wrong and right. Cut me to the bone, somehow I held on, 'cause I could feel your touch. But heaven, help me if I ever lose your love. My soul would turn to dust. Heaven, help me if I ever lose your love.
My passion for caring for the homeless and the hungry. I had been noticing that we were not getting as much food as we had been. And yesterday when I went to the soup kitchen to pick up the food that I get once a month, I found out why. The state of California, in its infinite stupidity, has ordered the soup kitchen volunteers to have a certificate in food handling. There are at least 80 volunteers a day at the soup kitchen for fixing breakfast and lunch. The soup kitchen feeds 250 people a day. In order to enforce this, they have threatened Trader Joe's, who is the main supplier of the food that they cook, that they are not allowed to give food to the soup kitchen. So that is not only affecting the 250 people who eat there, But the families who get the food boxes, the churches who get extra food, and we need prayer because we have to work around this to find out how we're going to feed people. And with the state now moving the camps and all this, it's going to be a big problem. We need all your prayers and all your ideas and all. It's just so sad. And please, please think and pray. And if you know somebody to talk to or write letters to the state, because nobody, and also it's the people who volunteer. They don't get to volunteer anymore. So it's a vicious circle. So thank you, and please be praying for us. You have to go online, and you have to take classes in all of food preparation and food. And the Orange County Board of Health says the soup kitchen cleanliness and their food preparation procedures are better than 5-star restaurants here in the county. Anyway, it's just...
For what it's worth, not that we turn this into a forum, but I did this certification during COVID. It's super simple and online. And so for those of you that would be interested in doing that, don't feel like it's an overwhelming thing. It'll take about a half hour to an hour of your life and you can be certified.
Yes, but it's the idea of 80 people a day, and who's going to do it?
So. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Nora. Thank you, Danny. See what love the Father has given us, that he should call us his children. And that's what we are, hungering for a deeper relationship with our Father. We go to him in prayer. Will you please pray with me? Holy, merciful, and loving God, here we are today to worship you. Here we are today to say out loud that you are our God. Continue the good work that you started in each one of us when you knit us in our mother's womb, that we may be worthy of being called your children. We live in a world that hungers and thirsts for you, Lord, whether we realize it or not. We pray for the He Gets Us movement, introducing a new way to explore the life and teachings of Jesus. Open the eyes and ears of those who are exposed. May this non-traditional approach to Jesus catch fire and begin a revival in our country, in our city, in our church. May it be so. Lord Jesus, we continue to pray for an end to the wars in Gaza and in Ukraine, and an end to all armed conflicts and hostilities between nations and between peoples. Soften the hearts of leaders and decision makers, turning them away from aggression and toward peace. Protect innocent civilians caught in the crossfire of war, especially the children, the elderly, and the vulnerable. Comfort those who have lost loved ones or been displaced from their homes due to the conflict. And guide diplomats and peacemakers in their efforts to negotiate ceasefires and lasting peace agreements. We pray for the Olympic Games in Paris, for your safety and protection, for camaraderie and good sportsmanship. May each athlete from every country perform to the best of their abilities and ignite a fire of harmony and goodwill that would spread across our globe. Lord, as Nora talked about, we lift up the soup kitchen and pray for you to smooth out the issues that they are encountering with the state, issues that are impacting their ability to get food to their constituents. And we pray for your provision for all those in the interim that would need food and care, that you would provide it. Almighty God, here we are again watching the devastation of many fires burning in Western Canada, in the Pacific Northwest, and right here in California. We pray for safety and protection for the firefighters and for favorable weather conditions that will help with containing these blazes. We pray for all those who are in harm's way that you would protect them and help those who will need to pick up the pieces of their lives and rebuild their homes. May each one feel your presence with them, and may they receive the help of friends and strangers. Lord, right here close to home, we pray for the many visitors you are bringing to Costa Mesa, especially for the Orange County Fair. Keep them safe and may they enjoy their time here. May we be ambassadors as we greet people when they park in our lot, and may we touch lives as we serve in this most ordinary way. The laborers are few, Lord. Please bring more from our flock that are willing and able to assist in this outreach. Loving God, we lift up those close to us in need of a fresh touch from your Holy Spirit. You know each one by name. You know their needs and their struggles. We ask for your healing touch upon their body, mind, and spirit. Bring comfort and peace and strength as they face their diagnoses, their illnesses, or their steps to recovery. We pray that you will restore them to full health, and in the midst of their challenges, may they feel your loving presence surrounding them. For those on hospice, our beloved Gwen, Joe, and Dick, we pray for your comfort and peace, Lord, on them. Ease any pain or distress that they may have, and surround each one with your love and the love of family and friends. We pray for Starlene and Carl. Be with them in their grief over their mother's passing. Comfort them and bring good memories to their minds of Starlette's life well lived. Comfort all of us who are missing loved ones. Father God, we pray for our church and for reconciliation. May your love and grace heal any divisions among us, uniting us in faith and purpose. Help us to forgive one another, to listen with open hearts, and to work towards peace and understanding, so that we may truly reflect your love to the world. We continue worshiping you and praying as you taught your disciples, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you are able, please stand for our sending hymn.
Okay, I mentioned at the beginning of the service that I didn't know what these flowers were about. Now I do. Right at the last second, I found out they're from Trader Joe's, and feel free to take them home. There's also food in the fellowship hall from Trader Joe's if you want to take some of that home and give them to somebody that needs some food or if you need some food. Also, I think we called for the offering, and we thanked God for the offering, but I don't think we collected the offering. Right? I noticed it during the doxology. Usually I give Edson the fist bump, and I looked up there, and there was an offering plate, and I was like, did you fly past me? Is this because of the Olympics? You know, did you sprint up there? And he said, no, we never took it. So we'll have plates at the door if you want to give your tithes, offerings, and gifts to God. And next week, Amy, you're preaching, and I'm going to... You are. Yeah. Surprise. And next week it's Gretchen. No, I'm just kidding. Gretchen, you probably have more sermons. Anyway, and then Pat, you're leading in communion. So, and I'm going to be out in the desert sweltering. But let me leave you with this benediction. It's going to be different. It's from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound. You may abound in hope. Let it be so. Amen.